This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosie Brick said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
That's right. Oh, no.
I don't know what happened.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, and welcome to ENN. I am Peter Rosenberg. I'm at Rosenberg Radio on Twitter and
That's
Instagram.
Right.
And I actually was late and missed a couple of cameos recently, but I'm still on Cameo and doing the best I can. Don't worry, I'm sending free ones instead.
Wow.
But yeah, if I mess up and miss it, I gotta do the right thing. I want to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
How many meatballs do you have?
And good evening to Don.
I pull a happy as often as I can.
Wow. What about good evening to myself?
Very quiet.
Oh, that's sad. Oh, yeah, I could house a lot of Swedish meatballs.
All right. That's not bad.
This is big breaking news, guys.
What?
You don't know that.
Happy Gilmore, a.k.a. Adam Sandler, goes on Twitter on the 25th anniversary of Happy G and hits a classic Happy Gilmore drive. But never to be outdone, we have a reply from the greatest, most dominant player in the history of the tour, Mr. Shooter McGavin. Let's hear from Shooter.
Nice drive, Gilmore. 25 years, huh? Let's see if it's Shooter's tour. Check it out. Oh, yeah. It's all about the short game. Drive for show, putt for the dough. Money. Shooter, still got it. Well, thank you to all the fans, and thank you to you, Adam Sandler. And why don't you just meet me at the ninth green at 9, Gilmore? Little secret of the pros. Okay? Oh, and Gilmore, wear something nice. 25th anniversary, baby. Shooter out.
That's so amazing. Sad we can't hear from Chubbs.
Oh.
But he was in character from 25 years ago.
His whole Twitter page is Shooter McGavin. You know, he has 350
since then.
He has 350,000 followers
more
as Shooter
me.
McGavin. He's only Shooter. Gotta respect it. All right. Story of the day was Draymond Green talking about players wanting the same treatment as teams regarding trades. Here's Draymond.
At some point, as players, we need to be treated with the same respect and have the same rights that the team can have. Because as a player, you're the worst person in the world when you want a different situation. But a team can say they're trading you, and that man is to stay in shape. He is to stay professional. And if not, his career is on the line. At some point, this league has to protect the players from embarrassment like that.
And Ramona Shelburne says that Draymond is not the only player that feels that way. Ramona?
Draymond is a voice of the players. He is not the only player who thinks this way. He's just the only one who had the guts to say it. He gave the example of Anthony Davis, and I think that's a pretty good example. Guy played really hard for a team for a number of years, signed a couple extensions, and then wanted out. Okay? He really got crushed reputationally in New Orleans, and some of that was self-inflicted, okay, at the end especially. It always seems to go that way. Like, I can't think of too many players who have played to the end of their contracts, done a couple extensions, right? Like Kevin Durant's another who had the same kind of situation after he left. I mean, that is how it works. You play, you sign your contract, and then towards the end, if your team hasn't built a winner around you and you want to, and that's important to you in your career, and you're getting close to 30 and you want to have a better chance to win, I don't blame players for wanting to leave. Now, players really do feel caught by that. Like, hey, how come when we want out, we're terrible, et cetera. And then when the team doesn't want to play us, you know, everybody just goes along with it and the player has to be professional. That is something I have heard every day.
Kendrick Perkins also weighed in on the side of Draymond Green.
Draymond Green was speaking the gospel, and he's right. Look, I was fortunate enough to be on two great teams that showed me a lot of respect, the Boston Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder. I was traded from both of those organizations, but they gave me a heads up. But I witnessed a lot of guys who got traded, who got cut without having any type of warning. And what people don't realize is that a lot of people have families that are involved. You know, their kids have to see this. They have to make sure they take their kids out of school. There's so many things going around this. And the most important part that he said is that if guys don't act professional, they get labeled as a cancer. And he's right. And if you get that label, GMs talk, owners talk, executives, everybody talk around the league. And once you get labeled as a cancer, it's hard for you to get that label off you. And then 9 times out of 10, in the next few years, you're out the league because you didn't stay professional. So he's right.
Now, there's a lot of layers to this, though. Okay? If you just indulge me for a moment. Being traded must be awful. Must be terrible for the family. But the trade-off is that you're making millions of dollars. People that work 9-to-5 jobs go through similar things. They get fired for no reason because it's just a cutback. So, yeah, it's tough for your family to get uprooted. I understand it. But, you know, the $10 million a year you make is supposed to soften that. And also, in terms of owners never getting criticized, Dan Gilbert almost got drilled out of the league for the ill-advised letter he wrote when LeBron left.
Right.
He was a cancer. He was looked at as a pariah. It goes both ways. If you do something wrong, you're going to be called on the carpet.
And a lot of it just comes from a passionate fan base, all right? Like what happened in New Orleans, all right? You think a Pelicans fan is going to look at it and go, well, listen, he was a good player for us. He signed a couple of extensions with us, and now he's gone, so I wish him luck in L.A. Or are they going to be like, I can't believe he's ditching us? Cause they're going to say, I can't believe he's ditching us because they're Pelican fans and they're supposed to just accept, even though Anthony Davis didn't necessarily do anything wrong, that they're just going to accept that and say, this guy doesn't want to play for our team anymore and be happy about it? Of course they're going
to
kill him.
Anthony Davis wanted to be traded, okay? He still had a year left on his contract. So right. Kevin Durant got ripped for leaving Oklahoma City and going to play for Golden State, but he played out his contract. Same thing with Golden State. He played out his contract. He went to the Nets. He didn't break any deals.
But even if that player, even if Anthony Davis left as a free agent, do you think the Pelican fans were going to be happy about that?
No, Oklahoma City fans
were. They're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way fans are. Michael, we talked about how many times that Mark Teixeira would play in Baltimore and get booed for not taking a contract he was never offered. Right? I mean, it's ridiculous. Do you think the Seattle fans forgave Alex Rodriguez because the Texas Rangers gave him $250 million, or were they upset that he left?
When he came with Texas to Seattle, they threw dollar bills at him.
So and the guy got a contract offer that Seattle was never going to match. So fans are never going to be logical. They're just upset that they lost their player.
But I think that's what they're complaining about, though, Don. I mean, that's the message they're trying to get out there, is that it feels unfair to them that they get vilified, whether it's by fans or media or whoever.
I think that's exactly what they're trying to express.
But
you're asking to change something that's existed since sports has begun, for fans to not be fanatics, to think logically. I mean, that's not going to happen.
Fans embrace players. They don't embrace owners for the most part. The players, it's a visceral connection between the fans and the players. So if a player wants out, you think the people in Houston like James Harden for what he did? And I keep repeating the interview that he had with Rachel, said he wished it had gone down differently, but he said he would do the same thing again because he got what he wanted. And that's when I say, when players do this, they provide a blueprint for every other player to do it.
But, you know, the more that we hear about this, like, I'm not exactly sure what needs to be changed. All right, so you get vilified. You're asking for things to be fair. Peter, whenever are they fair? You think it's fair that players get booed? Players that are working their tails off, but they just happen to go 0 for their last 15, or they miss a couple of foul shots? Do you think it's right that they get booed? You think it's right that they get destroyed on social media? Is it right that the fans hold signs ripping the player? No, but what do you think? The world is going to be rainbows? It just, that's not the way it works. Of course things are going to be unfair.
Well,
I'm not exactly
sure
what Draymond's asking for. How are you supposed to change this?
That is part of it that is tough, is when you decide to enter a career in which you, A, make a ton of money, and B, are performing on a public stage. While you have the right to be annoyed, you know, we can get annoyed that people say mean things to us, tweet nasty things, callers who are rude. We can complain about it all we want, but we're taking it because this is the job we want, and it's a privilege to have it.
Yep.
And listen, you think it's something new? How many stories Michael probably could tell you of stories of a player that just bought a house, just put his kids in school, was promised by the owner that you're not going to get traded, and then 5 minutes later they get traded, and they're living out of a hotel room for a year because they don't want to pull the kids out of school, and the wife's got to stay home to sell the house? Do you think that's something new? It's been going on for 50 years.
I just never understood.
That's the negative of being a professional athlete. It stinks, but most people aren't going to cry for them because they make millions of dollars.
Everybody that a lot is given to, you also have to, you know, you have to have a give and take. So you hear these actors, right? These performers, these entertainers. Oh, I can't go to a restaurant without being bothered. Yeah, you also have $250 million in the bank. Now, in a perfect world, you'd be able to go to a restaurant and not be bothered. But people think that you are them because they help support you. So when you make that kind of money as an entertainer, and these players are, you're going to be treated differently, and you are. And that's the price to pay.
Right.
Do we like getting criticized in the newspaper? Do we like getting criticized on Twitter? No. But this is the life we have chosen, and we are well compensated for it. Get over it.
Now, I will say, Michael, one place
nothing new, and it's nothing that is exclusive to the NBA.
One thing I'll disagree with you on, though, when it comes to those specifics are, Michael, even you would have to admit, watching that Britney documentary, that level of paparazzi coverage goes beyond the scope of anything anyone should have to deal with.
How do you evaluate what they should have to deal with? She's also worth $400 million, and that's one of the reasons why. People care about her.
But, yeah, but when you literally...
I know, it stinks, but it's a trade-off, Peter.
But no. There should literally be laws. You should not be able to be mobbed where you can't walk because there's 40 cameras around you and you're driving. You have to avoid killing people. And if you're trying to go in a convenience store, there are 40 cameras following you. That's not something NBA players even deal with. That's
right.
Like very specific to the highest level of celebrity. And to me, while I know we don't pity those people, I mean, it destroys people. And
yeah.
You see it in that doc firsthand. I mean, Brittany, there's that one, a couple of scenes where she's trying to just literally leave her house, and it's insane. I mean, I would think some simple stalking laws could be in place where you're not allowed to do it.
No, that's awful. I mean, that's an extreme, and I agree with you, Peter. But there's something you can do about that possibly. But as far as, you know.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
You know, again, it's really and it's difficult. And listen, I can understand it. I can empathize with it. I have a family. I don't know how I'd feel about having to sell my house and be away from my family and all that. But this is nothing new, and I don't know how you change it.
But I'm telling you,
I
really feel that this is what we end up talking around is the fact that people are uncomfortable, are extra uncomfortable with the system because. It is rich white owners and a black workforce. I believe the way to changing these conversations that at this point, you know, what Draymond's asking for, I don't think really makes sense, except you're asking people to be maybe kind and more generous, which is probably unrealistic. But these leagues to try to make an effort to get new minority ownership. I think even though the rules wouldn't change, the perception would feel different if in leagues they weren't 99.9% white owners, black players. It's an uncomfortable dynamic that dates back to the dawn of this country that brings up a lot of weird, unpleasant, nasty images and feelings for people.
Well, I mean, the perception might change, but Michael Jordan is an owner. He's a majority owner, and he treats the players the same way every other owner treats the players. So,
but you're talking about one owner in the two major sports.
But I'm not talking about whether or not minorities own teams. But if they own teams, they would run the teams the same way.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not about necessarily how it's being run. I think some of it comes from the discomfort of the whole situation. That's just my opinion. I think that if you had the NBA had 10 black owners, it would, that in itself would change so many different things that this wouldn't be the same conversation. Just my opinion. Because otherwise, I don't really see what the fix here is. You sign contracts. Now, in the, you said earlier, and I agree with this, the NFL's a different story. You know, they don't have guaranteed money. So I think there's a lot more to complain about when you're in the NFL. You're risking your body even more, and you have less guarantees. But in the NBA, yeah, I don't see a lot of changes here. You sign a deal. If you're really a stud, you have a no-trade deal, so you have a lot more control over what you want to do. Man. But besides that, I don't know what the changes are, but that's why I'm saying I think the change that needs to happen is a cultural, fundamentally a cultural change in the ownership of the league. And I don't know how to get there, but I think it's necessary.
Yeah, but I think we see it. We're seeing it with Derek Jeter in Miami, right? I mean, look at all the changes he made. I think that when you whatever your color is or your background is, I think when a player like Michael Jordan should understand what it is to be a player, he should understand what it is to be famous. But when he puts the owner hat on, then he becomes an owner. And then it becomes a bottom-line business,
so
and
true.
He starts acting like an owner.
Derek Jeter, okay, he took over the Marlins, fired Andre Dawson, fired Jack McKean, fired Tony Perez, and was a pariah down there. When you're the man, everybody's going to hate the man, whether he's white, green, blue, or red. The guy who owns is the guy who's everybody's going to envy and they're not going to like because they get to make the decision because they own the toy. They can take the toy away if they want. And unless you get to own the toy, you've got to live with the man. That's it. You could say, hey, Draymond Green's within his right to say he doesn't like it, but the two guys that he pointed out as examples to stand on the soapbox, it makes no sense. Andre Drummond wants to get out of there. Blake Griffin wants to get out of there. They're not playing, not to insult them, not to embarrass them. They're not playing them so they don't get hurt and that they could, in fact, trade them. It makes no sense that this is what you're complaining about. There are legitimate instances where you could complain about it. Those two are not.
Yeah, I mean, if one of those two players came out and said they wanted to keep playing and the team refuses to play them because they're waiting to trade them.
Then you could argue.
Hey, then it's like, well, hold on. But that's not what happened. Not that we know of.
Right. But here's the thing. Here's where Draymond gets himself in trouble because I do think he genuinely cares, Peter. I'm sure there's plenty of examples of players that aren't nearly as famous that have gotten traded, have been mistreated. But you bring those players up, and maybe that we're not even talking about it because we don't know who a lot of those players are. There are players. So give better examples because I'm sure there are players that get traded without knowing that are sitting there and not getting a chance to play because they don't have the power to be able to speak up or demand situations. I'm sure find those players and talk about them.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Let's talk about Jason Tatum. Tatum had COVID, and of course the Celtics have been struggling. He says he's still been struggling with some of the effects from COVID-19.
I think it messes with your breathing a little bit. I have experienced some games where I don't want to say struggling to breathe, but you know, you get fatigued a lot quicker than normal, just running up and down the court a few times. It's easier to get, you know, out of breath or, you know, tired a lot faster. You know, I've noticed that since I've had COVID. And it's just something I'm working on, you know. It's gotten better, you know, since the first game I played, but still deal with it from time to time.
A little bit of good news, guys, something to smile about.
Please, give it to us.
The 5-year-old girl, Ariel Young, who was injured in Andy Reid's son's car accident, she woke up from her coma.
That's great.
She's been hospitalized since February 4th. Of course, we don't know all the details on exactly how she's doing, but she woke up, which is obviously amazing news. Not as important, but Michael, I know this will mean a lot to you. Kendall Jenner and Devin Booker are now Instagram official.
Oh, that's big.
Jenner, 25. Booker, 24. She posted a loving Valentine's Day photo of her and Booker.
Oh, love it.
Andrew, bad news. It may not just be Carson Wentz. Zach Ertz says he's bracing for a change, according to Jeremy Fowler.
It's not fair.
Yeah, the three-time Pro Bowler fears he may be on the way out of Philadelphia as well.
God hates me.
Career lows last year, 335 yards and just one touchdown. He played it in 11 games. Serena Williams beat Halep last night, and guess what? Tomorrow night, we get Williams-Osaka.
Yeah.
In the semis. Beautiful. It'll be around 3 a.m., Don. By the way, I found out when I was watching Serena this weekend, that was a replay. So.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't know, so it didn't matter.
I thought I caught it live. I did not. That'll do it for ENN as we get ready for Rangers hockey right here on 98.7 ESPN.
In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See everybody. Have a great night. Rangers hockey is next with Don calling the play-by-play. Rangers Devils coming up.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.